heart. And as I've been praying and seeking the Lord and over the last, goodness, weeks and months, I keep going back to some things that Lord's teaching me. And Lord put on my heart tonight. If you found 1 Kings chapter 19, I want you to stand. So we honor God's word for just these few verses. Chapter 19 follows the dramatic contest in chapter 18 between Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. God brought down fire, Elijah prayed and defeated the prophets of Baal, killed 450 false prophets, and after that, in chapter 19, wicked Queen Jezebel told Elijah, sent him a note, sent him a message that I'm going to kill you just like you killed the false prophets. Elijah took off running for fear of his life and ended up under a juniper tree after a day's journey in verse 4. And he just said, Lord, that's enough. Take my life. I'm done with this. I want you to notice verse 5. Whenever you think you're done, whenever you think you've done all you can do and you can't do any more, and you end up under a juniper tree, I want you to notice verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. Notice that. Touched him. And said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Scholars tell us that when in the Old Testament, when you see the phrase, the angel of the Lord, that is an actual pre-incarnation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Old Testament. Jesus himself appeared many times, and it's addressed as using the terminology, the angel of the Lord. So it is here the Lord Jesus Christ himself touches Elijah. I want to talk to you in a few minutes tonight about the touch of God. Father, thank you for your word. Bless our time together tonight. Open our hearts to what you have for us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. And you may be seated. The touch of God. One of the amazing things about this story is that after Elijah's great victory in chapter 18, you would have thought he was on top of the world. You would have thought Elijah would have heard the message from Jezebel and her threats. He would have just said, okay, you saw what God did on Mount Carmel. Jezebel, bring it on. But instead, he ran for his life, afraid of what she might do. You know, many times that's what happens after we have great spiritual victories. After the Lord does something marvelous and wonderful in our lives, it doesn't take much for the devil to get us under a juniper tree. Doesn't take much for the devil to get us running away from the things of God. Elijah was ready to give up. Elijah was ready to quit. Elijah was ready to die until God touched him. Until God touched him. You know, I think one of the greatest needs that we have in our churches today is to have the touch of God on our lives. And I'm not talking about just have some emotional experience. I'm not talking about just being a singing or a service and just feel happy every now and then and go home. But I'm talking about when God gets a hold of us and does something that only God can do. And when we get to the point where we think we can't go on, when we get to the point where we're under our own juniper tree, and we think that there's no other hope, no other direction, I believe it's then that God is ready to touch us and to do something that only He can do. I want you to notice, and I don't have a three-point outline tonight. I got a five-pointer. I told you I'm ready. You just buckle up and hang on. I'll make it quick, I promise. Well, a little bit. But notice, I got it on the PowerPoint. You can write it down. But what happens when God touches us? What does it mean in the Word of God when we see this? I want you to notice number one tonight. Notice number one, when God touches us, He encourages us. Notice our text with the story of Elijah. Boy, if anybody needed encouraging, it was Elijah. If anybody needed strengthening, it was him. And when God touched him, when the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, comes and touches him, notice he gives him something to eat, and he gets strengthened in that. And we find, as the verses continue there, we won't take time to read it, that as a result of God touching him in verse 7, and the meal that he had to eat, he went in verse 8, in the strength of that touch and the strength of that meat, he went 40 days and 40 nights in his journey till he came to Mount Horeb. Boy, I tell you what, he got encouraged, didn't he? Man, I tell you what, that's what God's touch will do to you. You'll get encouraged when you need it. You'll get strengthened when you're weak. You'll have a touch of God that'll come upon you, and you can't explain it to anybody else. People will look at you and say, "What happened?" Well, people look at Sharon and says, "What happened to you?" And you start explaining, and they'll kind of look at you, you know, like, okay, well, they don't understand it because they've never had the touch of God. But I guarantee you, once you've had the touch of God on your life, and you've been touched by God, and God's done something that only God can do in your life, it won't take a long time for you to show that outwardly, and people will start asking, "What's going on with you? Boy, you look different. What's happening in your life?" You know, Jezebel had threatened Elijah. Elijah, the great prophet, had run. But now, after a touch of God, he was so encouraged and strengthened, he went 40 days without having to eat again because God touched him. Oh, for the touch of God in our lives tonight. But not only does when God touches us, he encourages us, but I want you to notice number two. And you're going to have to flip some verses here, and we're going to look at some passages. Number two, not only encourages, but also he empowers us. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, and I could read this for you. You can turn with me if you want. But in 1 Samuel chapter 10, Saul has been just anointed to be the king of Israel. Great fanfare. God really didn't want them to have a king. Samuel tried to talk them out of it. But they wanted a king like everybody else. And Saul stood head and shoulders above all the others. So he was anointed to be the king of God's people. And we find in verse 26 a very interesting statement, that after all the fanfare and after all the celebration and after all was done, it says in verse 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 10 that Saul went also home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men, notice this, whose hearts God had touched. Whose hearts God had touched. When God touches us, he empowers us to do things that we couldn't do ourselves on our own. How do you think that we hear of God's people and doing things, we see the power of God working? How do you think people get up and stand and preach and others sing? And how do you think people take it upon themselves, and when God gives them a touch and they go and they share what God's done in their life? It's because their hearts have been touched by God. It empowers them to do things they couldn't do on their own. Saul needed men around him who had been touched by God. Saul needed a band of men whose hearts had been touched by God himself. And when God touches us, he empowers us to do things we couldn't do ourselves. I mean, you really think we could reach the world for Christ on our own? Of course not. You can't even reach your own family on your own. You can't reach your coworkers. You can't reach your neighbors on your own. But we can with the touch of God. Because when he touches us, he empowers us. All our churches would be different tonight if we had people filled in our churches who had been touched, whose hearts have been touched by the power of God, and they'd leave out of that place every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night empowered to do the work of God. But here's what happens. Our churches are filled with people who are trying to do it on their own. They try to teach on their own. They try to preach on their own. They try to sing. They try to deacon on their own. They try to lead on their own. They try to nursery on their own. They try to do everything in their own power. And we see the results of that, don't we? When we do what we do, then we only see the results that we can do. But when God does what he does, then we see the results of what God can do. When God touches our hearts. Oh, let God touch your heart tonight. Let God do something to empower you that you couldn't do on your own. And let God touch your heart. Notice number three. Not only do we see that, but notice in the book of Jeremiah, we see the third point. When God touches us, the touch of God enables us. Jeremiah chapter 1 records Jeremiah's call to be a prophet. And when Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, Jeremiah relates this in the first chapter there. And he says this in chapter 1 and in verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. When God touches us, he enables us. He enables us, not just empowering us to do something we couldn't do before, but then he gives us the ability to do something that we never dreamed of. Jeremiah never dreamed of being a prophet of God. Jeremiah had no idea what to do as a prophet. But when God touched him, he was able to have the very words of God literally on his mouth to share the very words of God to the people of Judah who needed to hear what God had to say. You know, when God touches you, he enables you to do something. He enables you to speak that like you've never spoken before. You know, we all get a little nervous when we're around some of our lost friends or our lost neighbors. When we're around people that start criticizing churches and pastors and the things of God, we get a little nervous when we want to start speaking up. And sometimes we back down and we walk away and we don't do it. But then sometimes we just know that it's time to speak up. And that's when God just gives us the words we need to say. Amen. That's when he enables us. And that is the touch of God that causes that to happen. Just like Jeremiah literally had the words of God in his mouth that were as sweet and literally he would just eat them. Jeremiah had the touch of God. Oh, would we as Christians today, if there's ever a day that we need Bible-believing Christians in America to be touched with and enabled to speak the words of God, it's today. It is today. I mean, it doesn't take much, and even people who claim to know Christ and claim to have a salvation experience get criticized in the media, celebrities and sports figures and any kind of person. If they claim to be a Christian, oh boy, they get torn apart. And they tell them, you know, keep your mouth shut. We don't want to hear it. But brother, you have somebody want to come out of the closet in a perverted lifestyle. Brother, they want to put them on front of the magazines, you know. Listen, we need a day where God's people are enabled with the touch of God to speak for God and speak and share the witness of a loving Heavenly Father and a Savior who can save them from their sin. Oh, tonight, I pray for a touch of God that will enable us to speak His words like we could never speak before. I tell you, it's not easy, but it's necessary. It's necessary for us to speak up and be counted righteous and on the Lord's side. But notice number four. I told you I had more than three tonight. Number four, not only does he do all the things, but would you notice the fourth thing, we go to the New Testament, is the touch of God eradicates. Now I'm trying to keep with the letter E here for my alliteration purposes, but I want you to write the word eradicates, and I want you to write underneath it, heals. God's touch eradicates disease, eradicates sin, eradicates disabilities, eradicates handicaps, eradicates any form of disease. There's never been any disease more powerful than the touch of God. We got a witness here in our own congregation tonight who's given testimony of a healing power of God on her physical body. Thank God for that tonight. Many of you have experienced God's healing, God's recovery, God's help. And the eradication when God touches, there's two passages, and I don't have time to read through all of them, but in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, they've got it written down there for you, was the woman who had a blood disease for 12 years. And for 12 years, she had struggled and went to many doctors and others and struggled with this disease. And the Bible tells us there in Matthew's gospel that says in verse 20 that she came up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. Kind of a strange thing to do, but verse 21 tells us why. It says, for she said within herself, if I may but just touch his garment, I shall be whole. Oh man, just she had enough faith that she didn't even have to touch his hand or his feet or his side, or his beard, or his ears, or his nose. If she could just touch the hem of his clothes, she had enough faith that she'd be healed. And she was healed, hallelujah, just by the touching of God, just touching the hem of his garment. Oh, I tell you, we need that kind of faith when it comes to when we have issues in our bodies, right? Am I right, Sharon? We need the kind of faith that God can take and he can take care of whatever ailment and whatever disease and whatever handicap and whatever problems we might have, but knowing that it is God's plan and God's will and in God's timing and God's desire, and he can heal if he chooses, but if he doesn't choose, I like what our sister said tonight, I win anyway. Either way, I'm on the winning side. Hallelujah for that. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 22, we have the story of the blind man at Bethsaida. That when he came, they brought a blind man unto Jesus in Mark 8, 22. And they besought him to touch him. Oh my. Oh, what a wonderful story. Not only Jesus touched him, Jesus spit on him. And Jesus took and he saw a little hazy and a little fuzzy there for a while. And then when Jesus put his hand on him again, touched him, he was completely whole. Listen, I thank God for the healing power, the touch of God tonight. I believe that with all my heart. I do. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't take all the time to pray for all the ailments we got in our congregation and in our family and our community. We take all the time, a lot on Wednesday nights, and we request prayer for people who need healing, who have physical ailments. Why in the world do we do that if we don't believe God can heal them? But we do that because we have faith that God can touch and heal. Listen, God can raise people from the dead if he chooses to, and he's done it, and he can heal you, and he can heal your family if God so desires and does. And it's the touch of God that eradicates, and the touch of God that heals. Thank God tonight for this touch. Oh, I pray for God to touch many people tonight. I pray God to touch that little 8-year-old girl who's got cancer. I pray for Lainey. God would touch her. I pray for these other family members of our church family who have little ones and young ones who are dealing. I pray for God to touch our members of our church who are dealing with other ailments and other needs and other problems in their life. Oh, I believe the touch of God can eradicate. I believe he can wipe it out. And I believe God can completely heal if he so chooses. Thank God for that tonight. There's one more touch. There's one more touch, and this one just touched my heart. I couldn't get away from it. And it's found in Luke chapter 18, verse 15, because we see when the touch of God, when God touches, it embraces us. It's a beautiful story that's found in other gospel writers tell their version of it, but I just want you to see Luke's version in Luke 18. It is in Luke 18 in verse 15, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. They were bringing children, little babies, to touch him. Maybe that's where all the politicians got the idea to do that. You know, kissing babies. I don't know. Maybe this is where they got that. I'm not sure. But there was just something about these parents who had a desire to bring their little children. The little children, he says in verse 16. It was little children that were being brought to him for them to have Jesus just touch them. What was that supposed to do? What was it supposed to do? I mean, wasn't it okay to let one of the 12 disciples touch the babies? Wouldn't that be good enough for some? You know, Jesus had always had a crowd around him. Why couldn't the disciples do it? Why can't the deacons do it? What about the pastor? What about the Sunday school teachers? What about the youth leaders, the Awana leaders? Wouldn't it be okay for them to touch them? No. Parents wanted Jesus to touch them. It was something special about Jesus because I believe when Jesus touched them, it was a sign of an embracing of the Son of God. Oh, to feel the touch of God tonight on your heart and your life is as if God's just embracing you as a heavenly Father would embrace his children. Oh, to feel the touch of God. Oh, to feel the embrace of the heavenly Father. To feel the embrace of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose hands died on a cross and shed his blood. He told those people in verse 16, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, For of such is of the kingdom of heaven. For of such is the kingdom of God. And verily I say to you that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Oh, I don't know about you, but I've just been praying for a touch of God upon our church in such a way that we'd feel the embrace of the Lord Jesus in our hearts. We just feel the embrace, and every time we walk in this building, every time we get ready for a service, that we've come with an expectation and the anticipation that the service was just going to be from a touch of God. Not just a service, but that God would touch us. That God would do something that only He could do. Oh, tonight, would you pray for a touch of God upon you? Would you pray for a touch of God upon your pastor? Would you pray for a touch of God upon your deacons, upon your Sunday school teachers, upon your church family? Would you pray for a touch of God upon the lost, upon the sick, and upon the dying? And I believe with all my heart that there's nothing that can't be done, nothing that can't be accomplished when we see the touch of God come upon us. Oh, tonight, just in conclusion, write this down. We should pray to have the touch of God upon our lives. Would you join me in that prayer tonight? Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the touch of God. Thank you on that day that you touched me and saved me as a 9-year-old boy. Thank you at the age of 10, you touched me and called me into your ministry. Called me to preach. Oh, and thank you for every day that you've touched me again to heal me, to encourage me, to strengthen me, to enable me, to embrace me. Oh, tonight I pray for a touch of God upon White Plains Baptist Church. I pray for a touch of God upon our people, upon our community. This world we live in is in terrible shape. In every way, Lord, we're just crying out for a touch of God. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take your people to have a desire for you to do a work in them. So I pray tonight, Lord, touch us. Touch us again. Touch us again and again to do what we can't do ourselves. God, we'll give you the glory for it. Oh, God, I pray. Let us not be satisfied. Let us not be content till we know that we've had the touch of God. This I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said.